Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us clearly through it. And as we sit this evening and we hear from you, we pray that you would speak clearly to us, that by your Spirit you might work powerfully in us, changing our hearts and making us more like your Son. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, there's an old poem that you might have heard of. It's called the Gilgamesh Epic. It's a couple of thousand years old, thousands and thousands of years old. It's about a guy called Gilgamesh, who was the king of Uruk. And supposedly Gilgamesh is two-thirds god and one-third human. It's this kind of massive mythical story, and I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. But in the second half of the poem, Gilgamesh goes on a quest. He goes in search of immortality. He's on a journey to find eternal life. Now, along the way, Gilgamesh meets a guy named Utnapishtim, which is a name I hope I never have to pronounce again. So from now on, I'm going to call him Utna. And Utna tells Gilgamesh this. He says, "The life that you are seeking, you'll never find. When the gods created man, they allotted him to death, but life they retained in their own keeping." He says to Gilgamesh, "You'll never find eternal life. Man is just destined for death." But this doesn't stop Gilgamesh trying. He spends the rest of the story in search of the source of eternal life. But of course, he ultimately fails. There's nothing that he can do to gain immortality. His search for eternal life is pointless. But as we spend some time in the beginning of John's Gospel, his story of Jesus' life, we're going to see that this isn't the case at all for us. Seeking out, searching for eternal life isn't pointless. We just need to know where to look. Towards the end of his biography of Jesus, the author, John, he tells us why he wrote this biography of Jesus. And it's because, in John chapter 20, verse 30, he says he wants his readers to seek out and discover the source of real eternal life. He wants his readers to discover Jesus and have life through him. But it raises a question for us as we spend our time in chapter 1 today. How is it that this Jesus gives us life? You know, it's simple enough to say that if we believe in Jesus, we'll have life through him. But what is it about Jesus that means he can give us life? You know, what is it about Jesus that allows him to claim that he's the only source of true life? Well, John's going to help us start to answer that question this evening. I want you to imagine something with me for a moment. Kids, you can join in with this one too. Just do a little imagining exercise. It's the school holidays, which it is at the moment. It's Saturday night. It's about 6 o'clock. You're thinking, oh yeah, I've still got a bit of time because it's holidays. I'll get to stay up a bit late. But you're thinking, I'm a bit bored. You're on the couch and all of a sudden, the 90s classic, The Lion King, comes on TV. And all of a sudden, you are just captivated by The Lion King. Because straight away, with this kind of, it's an incredible and memorable musical number, and if you know the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This movie introduces us to the main character, Simba. We're going to watch a little bit of it now. How good is that? Now, if you know the movie, you'll know I chopped a big portion out of that. I thought it might have been a little self-indulgent to watch the whole opening song. But it's an incredible opening to a movie, isn't it? And I want to know, kids, you can join in this, adults as well too. And what do we learn about the main character, Simba, as we watch this first couple of minutes? What are some things we learn about the main character? Anything at all, could be the simplest thing ever. Yeah? He's a prince or a king. Yeah, he's some sort of royalty, isn't he? Yeah? Yeah? And he's going to be king from his dad. Jeez, you're doing well there, yeah? He's a lion. He is a lion, yep. Yeah, he's a lion. He's going to be king. He's royalty. Yeah, last one. They put paint on his face. Yeah, there's lots of things going on there. He's a lion. He looks like he's some sort of royalty. He's super cute, isn't he? You know, we learn all this stuff about this main character. In his first few minutes, we get a pretty good picture of who he is, don't we? And here at the start of John's Gospel, he's kind of doing the same thing. He's introducing the main character called the Word. It's like John is saying, you know, here's the main character, here's the Word, and this is a little bit about him. And when John says the Word here, he's talking about Jesus. See, all throughout the Old Testament, God acted and created and achieved his purposes by his word. Like in Genesis 1, when God creates everything by speaking. And later on in the Old Testament, God acts in the world by speaking through his prophets. And here, John, he's making a statement to his readers that Jesus is God's ultimate word. God acts, creates, and achieves his purposes through Jesus. Jesus is the Word. What exactly does John want us to know about the Word? He wants us to introduce us to Jesus as the source of life. And so he starts off by telling us three things at the beginning of chapter 1. Three things: that Jesus existed in the beginning with God, that Jesus is God, and that everything was created through Jesus. Have a look at verses 1 to 4 with me. This is what John says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Well, I'd like you to put your hand up if you use the internet. If you've used the internet even once, put your hand up nice and high. Pretty much everybody's used the internet. I wonder if there's anyone in this room who can remember a time when the internet didn't exist. Yeah, most of the same people, yep. Now, if you're here and you're younger than about 30, I reckon maybe you can't. You can't think of a time when the internet didn't exist. You know, it's just always been there. Exactly. That's right. And, you know, with Jesus, it's kind of the same thing, except Jesus wasn't created. But, you know, for you, if you're younger than 30, even though you weren't there to know about it, you weren't born yet, the internet was created by some nerds back in the 80s. But Jesus, he's always existed. He's always existed since the beginning with God. That's what John says twice in verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And the language that John he uses here, it's really intentional. He uses this little three-word phrase. Did you notice it there? In the beginning. It's meant to make you think of something else, isn't it? It's meant to make you think of Genesis 1:1, the first verse in the Bible. John's trying to make a point here. There's never been a time when Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't created by God sometime later when God needed him to come and save the world. No, he's always existed right there with God since before the creation of the world. That's the first thing John points out. The second thing is that not only was Jesus with God, but Jesus, John says, is God. And you've probably heard something like that before. And kids, we've sung songs in the past in church, songs like Fully God, Fully Man, haven't we? Jesus is fully, he's completely God. But he's also somehow completely human, which is this incredibly difficult thing for us to wrap our brains around, isn't it? And so I reckon sometimes it's easy for us to kind of think about when Jesus came to earth as a human that he somehow became a little bit less God. But John's pretty clear here. Jesus is God completely. And the third thing John points out is that everything was created through Jesus. Now, whenever you buy a new piece of clothing, a t-shirt or a jumper or something, there's always a tag in the back, isn't there? A tag that says kind of made in Australia or Bangladesh or something. And it often has the brand name of where it's been made, of who made it. It tells you who created it, doesn't it? You know, I reckon if you could look at the tag in the back of the universe, it would say, made by Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that everything, the entire universe, was created. That's what it says in verse 3. Through him, through the word, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John's repeating himself again here. He really wants to make this point. Not only was Jesus there with God in the beginning, Jesus is God, and Jesus made everything. Everything was made through him. He's the one, the agent, the one responsible for creation. And as we see in verse 4, that includes giving life to everything. Where John says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's life in Jesus. He's the source of life. He created life. And Jesus comes as a light, John says, into the world that's been darkened by sin. And he brings life to a world of death and destruction. And so if you want to find real life, John says, you've got to go to the Word. You've got to go to Jesus. You've got to go straight to the source. I reckon this raises another question for us, though, and that is, what is life? What is real, true life? Years ago, there was a movie called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You might know it. The supercomputer named Deep Thought spends 7.5 million years trying to come up with the ultimate answer to the ultimate question of life. And what was his answer? Does anybody know? 42. 42, that's right. 42. That's the ultimate answer to the ultimate question, 42. Doesn't make much sense, does it? And you see, they don't really even know what the ultimate question to ask was. But here's an ultimate question. What is life? What does it mean to have life? What does it mean to have eternal life? A little bit later on in John's Gospel, over in chapter 17, Jesus himself tells us what true life is. He says in John 17, verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Life, Jesus says, is all about knowing God. That's what life is. It's knowing God. In verse 14 of chapter 1, Jesus, the Word, who is God, the creator of everything, we see that he becomes flesh. He comes to live as a human, as part of his creation, which is mind-blowing, isn't it? The one who made everything enters into his creation. Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, John says, "No one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, he's made him known." Jesus says life is about knowing God. And Jesus enters creation and he shows us God. He reveals God completely and fully to us. And he makes it possible for us to know God and to be known by God. He comes as a light in the darkness so that we can see and know God and have life. This claim about Jesus, this claim that he is the only source of true life, I think it's one that is so confronting, really, that we can't ignore it. And so how do we respond to Jesus if this claim is true, if it's true that Jesus is the only source of true life? Well, John makes it pretty clear there's only a couple of options. You either acknowledge Jesus and come to him for life, or you reject him. Verse 10, John says that the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came into the world to make God known. But what did the world do with his knowledge? Verse 10 says, we didn't recognize him. We ignored him. Over in Romans chapter 1, it says that people suppress the truth about God by their wickedness. They exchange the truth about God for a lie, and they worship created things rather than the Creator. Which is kind of like going to Christmas lunch at Grandma's house, enjoying this amazing kind of roast pork dinner with veggies and sitting down to the meal and just kind of praising the piece of pork for how delicious and juicy it is, while Grandma, who slaved all morning to cook it, sits right beside you and you ignore her. The Creator of the universe came into the world and the world ignored him and rejected him, which is a response that leads not to life, but death. But there's a second response, John says, and it's in verse 12. He says, when people do come to Jesus, when they recognize that he is the only source of life, when you come to him for life, you find it. And you get to be one of God's children. John says in verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. There's a right way to respond to Jesus, isn't there? There's a right way to respond to Jesus' claim that he is the only source of life, and that's to acknowledge him, to trust in him, to come to him for life, and to be adopted as God's dearly loved child. This last Christmas just gone at DPC, we've been celebrating together as a church Jesus as the King of Christmas, the true King of the world who rescues, who calls us to repent and to trust in him as our King. We've been celebrating him as a shepherd king who loves us, who lays down his life for the life of his sheep. And so as we reflect on Christmas, and as we start another year together as followers of Jesus, I reckon it's really important that we remind ourselves of who Jesus is. that we have a renewed and refreshed picture of Jesus, of what he's done for us and why it is that we call him King and follow him as Lord. And so as we come towards the end, I just want to share three truths. There are three truths straight from this passage in God's Word that will be helpful for us to remember and to hang on to as we start life together in 2022. Three truths that will help to remind us of Jesus, the only source of life. Number one, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He's fully divine and he came into earth, into creation as a human to rescue and bring life to a broken world. Second truth is that Jesus is the creator. He was there in the beginning with God and everything was made through him. And thirdly, Jesus is the only source of true life. Real life is all about knowing God. And Jesus reveals God to us. And through his death and his resurrection, he makes a way for us to know God and for us to be known by God. And this year, as we follow Jesus together as a church, I reckon it's really important that we remind each other of who he is. As we navigate the challenges of 2022 that look like they could be just as challenging as the last few years, as we face distractions in our life, it's important that we keep pointing each other towards the life that we have in Jesus. And it's really important that as a church we hold out the promise of the life that we have in Jesus. We hold it out to those in our town and in our families and in our workplaces who desperately need the true life, the eternal life that only Jesus offers. If you're here with us tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, we'd love you to get to know him. We really would love you to get to know Jesus. Now, maybe you've been searching for meaning in life. Maybe you've been trying to cram life so full of stuff to try and experience real life while you can. Maybe you've been wanting to find something that will give you the fullness and richness of life that you desperately want. Or maybe you feel like no matter what you try, life just never seems to make sense. If that's you, we're really, really glad that you're here. And we'd love to help you meet Jesus. We'd love you to stick around. We'd love you to come back next week and get to know Jesus with us. We'd love you to stick around today and chat with someone. It could be me or the person you came with. Or just grab somebody and ask them. But we want to help you find life. We want to help you find Jesus and to know God. We want to help you find a life of knowing God and being his dearly loved child. We want to help you meet Jesus, the only source of true life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that in him is life. That when we come to him, we find life. And that through him, we can know you, our God, completely and fully. And so, Father, as we start off this year together, I pray that you would remind us again and again of who Jesus is. That you would give us a clear picture of our Lord and Saviour that we follow. And Lord, as we spend time together, may we encourage one another, may we point each other clearly to him. And Lord, would you help us to hold out the truth, the promise of life in Jesus to those around us who don't know him. Help us with this, Lord. We need your spirit to help us with that. And Lord, we need to support and love and help each other with that as well too. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song together, so I invite you to stand and join with the band as we sing.